Killer Keller podcast. KillerKellerOfficial.com.
THTC, the UK's leading ethical streetwear label. Organically grown and ethically built garments from hemp, organic cotton, and other sustainable materials. 2019 is their 20th anniversary year. Join me with THTC as a Killer Keller podcast sponsor celebrating music, social activism, hemp, and street culture. THTC, eco-fashion redefined since 1999.
Beatbox Creative.
Killer Keller.
We're here to talk about world music and street culture.
Killer Keller Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Killer Keller Podcast. Welcome. Welcome to the Keller Dome, live and direct. Central London, essential as you need to be. Let me just check. All right. So we are, in effect. Just checking the sound before we start asking any questions. So lights on now. Boom. Big shout out to Graffiti King Inside the Place, each and every time. Got a very special guest in for the UK Hip Hop Fraternity. Not only does he rhyme, not only does he own his own products, not only is he a beat maker, not only is he a graph writer, not only is he a good friend of mine, this is Oliver Sudden. What are you saying, my brother?
Easy, how you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
Yeah, not bad. Thanks for having me in, man.
Yeah, man, wow. I mean, what a time to be...
Crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Releasing music is not an easy task at the moment, right?
Yeah, it's been weird because I put out more than I have for years this year, because I've had more time,
yeah.
But it's been weird not doing gigs and stuff to promote it. So I've just been doing as much sort of radio and podcasts and bits and bobs as I can. But yeah, so that's why this is important. So thanks, man.
No, my pleasure. Come on. I think the last time we saw each other, I don't think there's ever been a time where I've actually spoken to you sober. To be fair, we're always out partying or something.
Yeah, I was Chip Shop, wasn't it?
Yeah, Chip Shop.
After Son of Noise shoot,
yeah.
Was that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't make it to the day, but I was there for the little after party bit, playing some tunes.
Big up Son of Noise as well, and Chip Shop.
Yes, always.
Yes, yes. You're very much a, in the athleticism of hip hop, you're a competitor and you get involved and you do stuff. You're active in every area. That's what I love about your quote unquote brand, your persona. You personify hip hop.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's strange saying to someone yesterday that I do my radio show on Flex and someone messaged me going, oh, you rap? And I've been on there for like 5 years. So, do you know what I mean?
Like, what do you mean?
That's just your first project. And I sent him the band cam. He's like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
so okay. You've been doing things. So, but yeah, it kind of blurs the lines of what I do. But yeah, I just enjoy all sorts of the culture, really. So
yeah.
And always have. Comes way back to being a kid and skating, I guess, and that sort of side of things where it all crossed over.
Listen, for those of you who don't know, because we are going to start as a means to go on right there, but urge you to go and check out Oliver Sudden. He's got a new album, Sudden Impact, coming pretty soon. You've got the first one dropping this week?
Yeah, new video out this week. There's one single out already, and then, yeah, we're just going to crack on and try and keep as many videos coming out for the coming months, hopefully, over the winter.
That's fucking fire. Yeah, and like I say, all-rounder. If you go onto his Instagram, you can check out every aspect of hip-hop culture in activity. So what? So you got into it like early doors, you were a skater. Whereabouts did you come from?
Croydon. Born and bred in Croydon.
Cronks, hold tight.
Yeah, hold tight, the Cronk squad. Yeah, just grew up skating in Croydon and up in town. And yeah, through like the garage days, I was MCing because everyone had decks and stuff. And then, but also through skate videos, watching and listening to a lot of hip-hop. So... ended up going back to what I was into, like hip-hop wise, and also the whole sort of, yeah, just everyone had the mic in the room, and it kind of just was just natural for me to just build and be around like decks and mics and stuff and open mic circuits early on, like Deal Real and stuff like that, Speaker's Corner and that. So yeah, met a lot of people I still roll with now. So
that era of record stores.
Yeah.
Often missed a lot by us, like more refined heads. But I think the lack of it,
yeah,
is quite telling of the culture and sure, where music as a whole has gone. Definitely. I miss those times, man, because they used to have jams in there. In situations like this, where the shops are barely open,
yeah,
and the clubs are shut, yeah, those would be the spots, right?
Exactly, exactly. It's just we were talking about the other day about walk past Wild Pitch in Soho, where it was, and. We all used to do like open mics on a Monday in there and stuff. And so it was never competing with Deal Real, but
that is, yeah,
they were still,
yeah,
popping. It was fucking busy, rammed crowd, hype MCs, hungry to get on the mic. And but yeah, maybe one day again, get that sort of thing, yeah, going.
And you always used to meet people that, you know, Rodney was, in the end, Roots Maneuver.
Yeah.
You just bump into these people and you handshake based off a recommendation of a record or
definitely
the guy behind the shop saying, you know who that is, you know who that is?
No, yeah, for sure. Yeah. And that was it. I met loads of like Mudfam and like NASA and Nova. I met through Deal Reel and I didn't even know who they were at the time.
Yeah.
And I think I was seeing this girl and her lodger in the house randomly grew up in North and knew Skinny, and he had, I looked down the selection of LPs and on the end was the Mudfam EP. And I was like, what? And I saw the caricatures and I put the face up.
Yeah.
No way, that's them.
Oh, mate.
But like, then I obviously still chat to them like now. So same thing, just, yeah, going back, you meet people in random ways back then and pre-internet sort of YouTube and all that sort of stuff. You didn't really know who was who.
Yeah, that's just true, yeah.
Yeah, just lyrics and voices rather than faces, isn't it? That's what I mean.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
The DNA of UK hip-hop, in a real family tree kind of way, like you were saying about the Garage MC era and stuff like that, they like the likes of Skinny and Roots Maneuver, and you know that to me the elder statesman of the you know, we're the kids,
yeah,
these guys created a path, and it's incredible how that family tree transcends other UK music scenes and
definitely
cultures, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it goes way back to like we're saying with the graph thing and that, and when it was so crossed over between, which it obviously still is, but it's like your heroes, do you know what I mean? And stuff like as you get older, you realise who worked with who and what sides of London sort of connected and how they connected. But I think it's, like you said, again, sort of Soho was kind of like, because it's so central, you did meet people from all over, everywhere.
Yeah, it was and a centralised place, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and it takes like all these years for you to kind of, oh, that was, he was with him, he was with, like, and then as you travel more out of town, as things kind of spread it out and you have to go to different parts of town for different jams, you tap into different parts and different, like, scenes in different, like, parts of London and stuff. But, yeah, it definitely goes way back to the fathers, for sure.
Makes me feel like
old.
You're always in it. Yeah.
I'm joking.
Apart from that.
Same.
It does make you feel like you can be anywhere and feel, you know, geographically.
Yeah.
In a musical sense,
yeah,
you
definitely
can feel the vibe, and you know that you're in a, you know someone that might be there, or
yeah,
you can,
for real,
you're never on your own.
No.
Oh yeah.
No.
It's a music scene.
Definitely.
I'll ask you a question. Do you think, like, when it comes to music, particularly scene-based stuff, like integrity is everything.
Mm.
It's how far do you go in, because it is a peer thing.
Mm.
Like, I'm arguably, like, I think to myself, yo, I'm doing this to, I would do this to impress my peers. And that's a thing with hip hop, isn't it?
Mm.
It's like you want the forefathers to be like, yo, like, salute, he killed that.
Yeah.
You know? How far down the road do you need to feel settled with that in your head before you start thinking yourself, you know what, man, I need to rise above that. I need to challenge my peers and I need to make some money.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, because it's a real hard balance, isn't it? It's got that jazz quality where you can be in the mix with people and on the same level you're inspired.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
The jazz thing, 100%. So I always think about that, how all your heroes work in the jazz thing. Do you know what I mean? If you look on like classic jazz albums at the credits.
Yeah.
It's all the same thing. But yeah, I feel like the first step is getting the appreciation from these people we're talking about, do you know what I mean? And then that's kind of given me the confidence to push and try to bigger and better what I'm doing and make more of a brand and a more organised sort of business rather than just making songs, being at jams. Now I feel like I've got a lot of the people that I've always looked up to behind me. It's encouraged me, especially Ty, rest in peace.
Yeah,
he was so supportive and like encouraging of like my stuff.
Yeah.
He went sick at me. I've told the story loads of times, but he went mental at me, just Swiss from So Solid and Chip Shop one time for not embracing myself as an MC, and like demanded Mass Law took a photo of us. Like, get a photo of me, Swiss, and all of a sudden now. And like fucking, no, you're a bad boy MC and all this. Like, don't listen to him, Swiss. Like, because I was going, I'm a DJ, I put on events, I do radio. And, but yeah, that them people. And then, yeah, now I feel, yeah, the next step is knowing that they're behind me, I feel more confident going forward type thing.
Yeah, it is good, isn't it?
Definitely.
And I think Rich Lee deserved to, because he is right.
Mm.
He's right. We all do it, though, man. You know, you underplay yourself because you're with your peers or because you've got to a point where you feel you've hit the top of the glass.
Yeah.
In creativity and adding value to that side of you, right?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. I feel that, yeah, it's a massive part of the whole thing is just getting that encouragement to be, yeah, sort of know that you're in the right place and you're on the right path, yeah. And then it kind of opens up that you can see where you're going to go from there. Do you know what I mean?
It's a long game, though, isn't it?
Definitely.
Because when you're thinking about my boy Leke from Aerosol, he calls it cultural currency.
Yeah, exactly. That's the way. It's a good way of putting it, actually.
It's true, isn't it? Because you kind of like you have to. There's with cultural stuff that it's like you can get into it, but you have to earn your stripes.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the thing that takes a long time, isn't
it? Yeah, for sure. I feel that is the thing. People always used to say, like, oh, I'm going to quit. I'm like, what have you done to make you want to quit? Or what have you not done to make you want to quit? You're not getting feedback. You're not out and about. You're not in the cypher, coming off stage with that buzz. Like, I killed that. Do you know what I mean? Like, that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
The people that often quit were the people that weren't out and about, like, representing in... Not that you have to be that, because some people just do it, especially now with the internet.
Yeah.
Like producer-wise and stuff, people just can be out there fully just from connecting online and stuff, especially like sort of middle-aged family men that have made beats forever, been close to quitting at times and now are like producing some of the biggest underground hits. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But like, but for like my path has always been, I like to be out and about, to be seen, to be heard. And to build with the people that I should, like I've looked up to, along with the people that are coming up and try and be...
Community shit.
Yeah, try and be a guide and a help for them, like I've had help and guidance in the past as well.
Like the record store days were. You're in the, like you say, getting off stage with the adrenaline of doing a show or spitting a bar or, you know, anything that performance-driven. And even doing a piece, if you've done a piece and you kind of look on it and you're like, yeah, I mean, that... Studio, the level of fulfillment that you get.
Definitely.
That shit is untangible. You can't... It's more... It's what distracts you from getting high and getting drunk, and it keeps you inspired to do more, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. You need that. You need the kick up the bum from time to time to just make you, like, like know where you're at and where you're like going. Do you know what I mean?
Do you ever get those ones where you've woken up at around 10:30... No, I'm not woken up. That'd be a fucking lame. That'd be a lame morning start, wouldn't it? Right, you've got up at a regular time, and you've been, to want of a better term of it, you've been prick teasing yourself for the last hour to get in the studio, knowing full well that you're gonna have a banging time, but in your head you're just like, oh man, and you're just getting pent up because you want to jump in and just do it because you know you'll be there for another 8 hours.
Yeah.
But it's really hard to get that click down. Do you ever have that?
Yeah, I feel much better in the mornings. I'm terrible at working at night on music. I mean, I'm all right at recording and stuff, but I feel, the early morning I really get the buzz, especially when I've got everything set up. I know I've got a stack of records there.
Mm.
If there's breakfast in the kitchen, do you know what I mean? You haven't got to get out to the shop.
Yeah, yeah.
If you know there's coffee, nice bit of munch, and you can sit there, put a record on that you could possibly sample, go through it while you eat, and then get straight in. But other days, you just... It takes a minute, but I think it's good. I was talking about this with someone the other day about how sometimes the break makes you realise where you got to go with the next thing as well.
Oh, that is so true. Being so deep in the culture, as well as being a product and creating products and moving in a life circle, so you're getting paid. Yes, this is what I'm coming to. How can you create that circle? I think you already have, so you've got the answer to this. Can you create a circle that feeds each step of your lifestyle? So, I've seen you do a piece, and I've been sat there thinking, well, these guys have been at it for like 5 hours now. You know what I mean? And I would be like, constantly looking at my phone. What's that social media thing saying? What am I doing here? What's going on here? What am I doing? Podcast next? You know what I mean?
Mm.
But you seem to like be able to do that and then go and DJ, get paid from the DJ, and then go and... back into your house, like you say, have a munch, do your morning stuff, then jump in the studio, work out some breaks that you want to sample. And it's like a conveyor belt of cultural using the natural resources to
yeah
make income.
Definitely. I feel like that's almost like the week in general, because I'll be DJing Thursday to Sunday, yeah, and then Monday's like my Sunday, but I'm excited because I've got nothing on. So yeah, I'll be like, right, I'll make some beats today. Mm. And then it'll be like Tuesday, sort of admin stuff, maybe paint, do some artwork for a flyer or something. Yeah. And then Wednesday, kind of rest up a bit, do a little bit of homework and get the stuff, records ready for the weekend, and maybe do a shift in the record shop if I'm needed that week or whatever. But yeah, I feel like that, the week, the actual plan of the week has always helped me, like the gigs being sort of that chunk and then having that chunk to sort of do my other stuff. And my downtime, I enjoy like making beats, do you know what I mean? So it's, that's kind of been an easy part of it, especially like when my setup was smooth, but at the moment I'm having a bit of technical difficulties. Classic, when you've got more time, you can't actually do
it. Was
anything,
me the other day, just, you know.
Yeah, but the week's always been like this normal structure of the week. And I think, I don't know, I've never worked Mondays, so I feel like that's always been knowing, I don't know, it's kind of sly and cocky and a bit out of order to say in a way, but I kind of like that some people are having a rubbish day on a Monday and I'm just like, what, I can do what I like now.
But you create that, don't you? You
yeah,
create that.
But I have on the flip side, sometimes I'll be playing in a bar to no one in the other end of town, but the pay's all right, and I'm out all night late getting home, knackered, but where people will be partying. Yeah. So I gave up like a lot of weekends for ages. Now I don't know what to do on the weekends, now everything's off. So.
Yeah.
Very strange.
Yeah, it's a strange time, isn't
yeah
it? So you can sustain?
Just about, yeah. What investing, I guess, is like something I didn't do enough at first. I wasn't investing in my craft as much as I should, but something I've, if I get a little bit of money, try and put some into some stock of some sort to keep a fund coming in through.
Yeah, that's a funny one, isn't it? I think I was the same.
Get my water.
Yeah, of course you can. Yeah, I think I was the same in that respect as well.
Yeah,
you know, I could, in hindsight, you know, it's not a regret. It's just more of a, well, I'm going to just do a bit more of that now.
Yeah, definitely. It's the way. I need to keep at it myself as well, especially these days, because it's a dead time of year, even when it is normal. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
I often wonder what girlfriends think, and boyfriends, you know, whatever side you flit on. I always wonder what girlfriends think of that lifestyle. They'll always say, oh, yeah, it's fine, I love it.
Mm.
But, you know, deep down is like, our aspirations, I mean, you know, and not only by guessing, because I like patterns, I like structure, and sometimes there's a spike of like, yeah, like, oh, I've just had an idea. Okay, I've got time to, I'm going to up the level on that one.
Yeah.
But it's all very self-obsessed and work-related, and I often wonder what girls think of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I've had both, sort of, some that don't get it. I've been called foul words for just doing work before and like acting like I was neglecting them, even though the plan was to do that and they knew exactly what was going on. I just needed an hour to crack on. Yeah. And then there's some that do really rate what you do and kind of, or in a similar profession like self-employed creative stuff.
That can so be quite dangerous, can't it, when two creatives are involved, because the money just doesn't
end up talking about your lack of income or your income. Get really hyped, I've got a job, and then like in a couple of weeks on, so both stressing at each other about lack of income. But I don't know, it's that balance, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's a right, isn't it? It's a right. You should have creativity in your day.
Yeah, for sure.
Without question.
Definitely. It's especially now, we're really lucky to be able to have these ways of expressing ourselves through crazy times.
Yeah,
I feel really grateful for the artwork and stuff that you can just zone out.
Yeah,
definitely.
The just going back to what you were saying earlier, when you were coming up, and all the peers and all the things, what made you lean? Because I know you first as an MC, then graffiti. What made you lean into getting into to graffiti?
I feel like going back to the garage thing. You had a name, and everyone that had a name, if it was like your alias or whatever, that was your tag and your MC name or your DJ name and your tag, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was, everyone was on that back in the day. Everyone had a tag. And then I think some people kind of dropped off as they stopped doing music and didn't bother.
Mm-hmm.
Some people persisted with the graph thing, and some people persisted with the music, and some people just stopped the whole lot. But at the time, it was just, yeah, everyone had a tag, and it was the same name that they'd be under. I used to be like MC Ideal or something as a child, and that was like, used to write Ideal, and then realised there was an idea. For more, I came up to West to go to skating, PlayStation skate park or whatever, and like, oh, I can't write that. It's only one letter of difference, and then changed it, and then a few years of rubbish names before I got this name I have now, which is, yeah, I'm happy with this name, but hold tight Paul Williams for naming me. This guy used to work with.
Hold tight Paul Williams?
Legend. Yeah, he once was stressing out when I was working in Orders in Croydon, and he said, oh, I need a new name, right? And I was like, yeah, and he's like, cool. Next morning he came to me, he's like, I've got it. And I was like, what? And he's like, your new rap name. And I was like, go on. And he went, all of a sudden, I was like, that's it, sold.
So, fire.
But I always tell that story because that you've got to give props to people that like that, do you know what I mean?
1,000%.
People would forget, like, people like that. Do you know what I mean? I haven't seen him for years, but I know he's out there doing his thing and still listening to hip-hop and stuff, and, yeah, still supports where he can, but I'll always shout him out for the
name. The connect, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Rolling with Tizer, ID, hold tight Tizer.
Yes, out to Tizer.
That's strong pedigree, brother.
Yeah, Kings. I met him many years ago outside one of my events. Obviously, we were always around Brixton a lot, so we've seen each other around for years. But, yeah, over the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, we've got really tight just from painting and also having similar schedules where we haven't got that much responsibility. So,
yeah.
Weekdays when there's not much on, just go and paint, or you'll come to a gig or support the music.
Was that a gig with you the other... I think Bill VIP was there as well. I can't
remember. Yeah. He was. That was at the Cause. That was Full Clip at Slippy Skills. That was a wicked event. They will be back.
It looked great.
Yeah, it was dope. We will be doing that again, actually. We had a big lineup. I think he's got quite a few booked up. We did have a few booked up. And I think he's doing a similar kind of like online series to go with it. It's like Full Clip magazine. It was going to be a magazine. It kind of ended up being a... He was doing the Jago in Dalston before lockdown.
Yes.
And then... Obviously, the Cause in Tottenham has been... Have you been up there?
No.
It's wicked, man.
Whereabouts is it?
It's right by Tottenham Hale Station in the middle of a building site. It's like the last bit that's not been touched.
Oh, I know it. Yeah.
And they have, like, Jungle Rave on a Monday. It's mental. It's all seated.
That's mad.
But, like, it's obviously...
You wouldn't have even thought it was there.
And they've just adapted the venue into a thing called Costa del Tottenham. So it's just a big outdoor space. Roof over it.
Costa del Tottenham.
Yeah, just wicked food. Really nice food up there. Drinks, you can smoke at, and all the areas. It's kind of just like a massive beer garden with wicked sound system.
Banging.
And no neighbours, so you can just go in and they're just fully adapting every single time there's a change in
policy.
Lockdown or tier or whatever they call it. Can't keep up, but they'll just adapt and change it and make a bit more space and accommodate for the rules. So
it's fucking great.
And it's really nice. The security are lovely, all the staff are lovely. Yeah, it was wicked, man.
The underground always thrives, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
It's like, there's no people. I mean, you know, we go about the, you know, the record stores and the chip shops and stuff. Yeah. Chip shop's a great example, actually. You know, the adaptation. Who'd have thought ever that a chip shop would then become the hip hop mecca, the primary hip hop spot of London? People, you know, that was the old record shop model. The beer gardens are now the raves.
Yeah.
It's like people just adapt, don't they? They work with the mood.
There was even girls doing like footwork, like full on like dance routines, but lying down on a bench. So they were not breaking the rules, but like they were breaking. And then sitting back up and crying with laughter at how jokes that it was to do their routine, but upside down.
That's hilarious.
Sit up and drink some more wine and go again.
I have to tell you, I do miss a powerful sound system, though, bro.
Yeah, it's proper big there, man. It's loud.
Isn't it?
Wicked. Yeah.
So jungle, drum and bass head, do you like jungle too?
I do. I mean, I've never sessioned it. I find it's because it's like I was rapping on sort of garage and grime stuff. And then hip-hop stuff, and I find like I like riding halftime, but I've never had that sort of that verse for the drums. I've never written one, but I do enjoy it, and I feel like even this year where I've been around it a lot more in certain situations where there's just been a lot of like, it's almost like being like, right, if we're going to do it, let's just go all out and just do the drums, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like I've kind of opened my ear a bit to it this year, but I've always sort of dabbled. When it was Pirate Radio days, it was obviously back-to-back sort of shows that were garage and grime, and then it would always quite often end up in sort of jungle and drums at the end, by the end of people's shows. But
yeah,
no, it's not my I'm not like a, wouldn't call myself a raver, but I'm more into like funk, soul, reggae, intimate sort of little dudes with real passionate sort of more specialist stuff.
Because I think a lot of, I mean, hey, I'm not getting spicy now. This isn't a spicy comment. It's not designed for it anyway. But when, I remember when I first got into like the more hardcore UK hip hop stuff, kind of, it's very similar to when you first get into garage music, I guess, or even early jungle drum bass. For some people, it's those are like entry holes into discovering a later scene.
Definitely.
Like you're saying about funk and jazz. They're all inspired by that, but you've kind of got to go through them entry holes first to discover the details, haven't you?
Yeah, it's like going backwards, isn't it? Just sample-based music. And as well, buying samples and collecting records to sample.
Yeah. Do you do that still?
Yeah. Yeah, buy records for every bloody purpose. It's pretty mental. I'm trying to have a clear out at the moment before my house falls down.
That's not going to happen quick.
It's taking ages. But I was going through stuff the other day. Might have seen it in my story. It was like a dog training record. And I was like, God, where the hell have I got that? I was like, I'm not going to get rid of it, though. I know I'm going to need that at some point. It's going to be like, I'm going to need a certain command. And it's going to be on there.
Yeah, yeah. But has it been transferred to like hard disks and USBs yet? Is that?
No, I'm such a caveman. I've literally got one hard drive with a load of old photos on and then a laptop that's dying. My boy Kurt Cataract's fixing up another laptop for me at the moment with some newer software and stuff so I can get back on the beats. But I've just been using Fruity Loops Free on an old Toshiba laptop for years.
Dude, I swear, whatever
this
you
album's
need.
On there as well. Yeah. I've made on that as well.
You know what? I think with restriction comes that creative thing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, some people laugh at me. Even like, there's this one button to export the whole song as stems and it's quicker. And I can take it to any where I record with Strange Neighbor at the Revolve Studio. He uses Fruity Loops, and it's obviously a newer one than mine because no one uses Free anymore. It's like 98 or something it was made.
Sick.
But I see it's like an SP or something.
Yeah. I'm 1,000%. 1,000%.
And where I go there, and then it goes to master at Kurt's quite a lot of the time, and he's on a newer, even newer Fruity. So it's, as long as you're going to a newer one, you can just zip the package, and it will come through as it is on my computer, and I can work on it there. But
that button ain't getting pushed, is it? You're doing it manually.
I wasn't even bouncing stems. I was just bouncing the whole thing and just like sort of mastering one track. But now...
Yeah, that's
why this album's like...
Bro, that is like OG old school. I love it.
It's terrible. They worked for some things, especially working with like when I was recording the last EP. It was with Moriarty and he's a wizard on the boards anyway. So he made it bang, but nothing is bang like this because we've had all the stems perfectly built out and then... It went to Crossbone T this time because Kurt had some computer issues for a couple months when we needed it to be mixed. But
hold tight, Crossbone T.
Yeah, it sounds wicked, man. Both of them amazing engineers, very reasonable.
That's one thing. That's the first thing I said to you when I was listening to it. I was like, dude, never mind the videos, fire. But that...
Yeah, even through the phone, it sounded all right.
Mix sounded good. The vocals are sharp.
Yeah, for sure.
To think that you're doing it in one... You know, there's loads of old... I mean, like, how did these people do it back in the day? I mean, it's not... It just because it's available doesn't make it definitive.
Yeah.
I like people that do the old school shit.
You know? For sure. I feel that's definitely pushed me. But then where I have seen people working on other programs, I had Fruity Loops 8, which is still well old, but I made like quite a lot of stuff on there. And then that laptop completely died and I lost most of the beats. I put out 2 beat tapes this year. Of stuff I found through lockdown on a hard drive.
What?
It was just stuff I bounced as ideas and just put it all out. Didn't even bother mixing it or anything, just did a little artwork and put 2 out this year.
Isn't that liberating?
Yeah, it's nice just to get that out. I don't like sitting
on stuff. Good, yeah?
Yeah, it went really well. I did a limited CD of the first one for those CD collectors. This is fascinating to me, CD collectors. Like, I love these dudes. Like, someone came up to me, like a random dude, said, oh, anything, he messaged me saying, anything you do, tell me, put anything you have on CD, I want the lot. And then he said, can you sign it to the wife? She's really upset and stressed out at the moment through this COVID malarkey. You know?
And then he
sent me a video and he was like, thank you, Oliver. Wife really enjoyed that. And he was like, you're in good company. And he walked up his stairs and it's like this racked out wall on, like, at the top of the stairs, all CDs.
Oh, that's
all
sick.
In alphabetical order. Like, you're in good company. And I think I had like Overlord X next to me. And then
OC or something on the other side, and it was like in the O section. He was like, show me what was either side of my little chunk of CDs, and that. He's like, you're in good company, don't worry. I was like, this guy, killing it. It fascinates me, just people wanting that physical and something to read and hold and send out a few stickers and a bit of primo with everything for like, yeah, just to give people that package that they want as like collectors and passionate.
But what is it with you break collectors? Like you, some of these breaks, Hold Tight, Mr. Thing.
Yeah.
Mate, the amount of times I've just stuck in a record shop with Mark back in the day. But he would flick through things and he'd go, yo, you should check that out. Why? Because, you know, there's a break on da-da-da track. But this is a whole album and it's like...
Started my radio show last week with something that he pulled out in the shop and showed my boss. Like, my boss showed me because he thought it was like more up my street. But, yeah, he's something else, man. I mean, I've...
Is it the physical thing you guys like?
Yeah, I love the physical thing. I like to be able, like I was talking, going back to what I was saying about jazz and figuring out the collaborative efforts and who wrote what. And it goes even across, like, all genres, really. There's certain people that have just touched so many different sounds. But it's just having something in your hand to read and the artwork while you put the record on, that feeling of putting the needle on, the little connection and noise and the crackle as it comes. It's just so many levels to it. And then sitting back...
Spiritual, like, isn't it?
Yeah, reading about the album and their approach to the artwork. And yeah, it's like Halloween when I was playing, like, I took a sound effects of death and horror with me to the chip shop, and every now and again threw a little scream or a creaky door in the mix and stuff.
Love it.
And on the back of that, they talk about how they got all the sounds from, like, chopping, like, abusing large white cabbages and all this. It's proper, like, classic British comedy, like, we hacked them with cleavers, stabbed them with hot pokers, which resulted in some great noises and a lovely bit of coleslaw for the team. Classic. But it's just, you wouldn't see that on an online or digifile, would you? I like that sort of physical copy to have a read and get some info off.
And the intel of that as well. Yeah. I love it when I feel like I've discovered a bit of information that, you know, might be useful at a pop quiz or some shit.
Yeah, I'm not one of them guys that's super up on the break still, even though I know a lot.
Oh, I know nothing, brother. I've got a bunch in there that Mark, Mr. Finn, gave me yonks ago. And I think, like, he came around for podcasts and I even tried to give them back to him. He's like, oh, yeah.
I've got 40 copies of each of those.
To go with his shelter addiction.
I need to go to his shop, actually. Wicked name. Pressing Matters.
Pressing Matters.
So sick.
What record store do you work at?
Sole Proprietors, Brixton Hill, 64 Elm Park, yes. Small independent. Been there 3-4 years now.
See, we're talking to somebody that lives it and breathes it. You know what I mean? No fucking around here. It's fucking great.
Yeah, it's a great shop. Hold Tight Goose is the boss. Yeah, it's been amazing. They've done some real good installs there as well. Had Skinny Man perform. Cheese London did a night with mad lineup, actually. Cosmo Pike, I think it was the same night. One Man and Skinny Man on like a lineup in a record shop on a Friday.
In Brixton?
Yeah, in the back roads.
Brixton's pumping, isn't it?
Yeah. In the back roads, right out the way, next to a little tiny... It's a tiny parade of shops, corner shop, little pub that's been refurbed. It's gone a bit swanky now, but still not bad. And then they've got old-school barbers there called Rough Cuts, where Tyson used to get his hair cut when he was in town. And a radio station opposite, Cat Radio, just from someone's house online. But it's just such a nice community of people. And obviously where we're in the heart of a lot of old sound systems, where they were the other side of Tulsa Estate and stuff. And... tragically, people have passed. They've been known as the place that deals best and pays well and is honest. So a lot of amazing collections from like original sound systems in the area.
I see your records in there.
Yeah, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. Trying to come home with a small wage rather than just a bag of tunes is,
I was gonna
as
say,
you can imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a vault behind the jump that I've been trying to work through. But yes.
You just got the first dibs. You got privilege.
It's great. But it's also expensive.
Yeah, dangerous.
I think that was the final straw. I think I was like kind of happy with the way I was collecting it and at the rate I was collecting. And then ever since I've been working at the shop the last couple of years, it's just been, got intense.
Do you think it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy that if you live it to that extreme, you become it, and therefore everything you've created up till now, it leans towards... a synergy, like things magnetized coming your way. Yeah. Like, of course, you're going to end up getting a huge record, a vast amount of records. You put yourself in that position and reverse engineer it. You put yourself in another position before that made that position.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Definitely. It's like you said as well, you when you're in the same property for a while, things do build up. You're like, oh, I've got loads of space. And then before you know it, you're tunnelling your way to your bed to a...
Yeah, don't know what you mean, mate. Don't know.
Order Some Hell, season 10.
But then you justify it, don't you? Because once you've got all them records, you're like, yeah, well, I've just made some impact. I've just made this album. And it, in your head, it's like a flick of a switch.
I want to send it to my landlady and go, this is why.
Yeah.
Do you know what I've been working on? Like, almost made me like defensive when she's moaning about the amount of stuff in the house. She's right, I have got to get stuff out, and I have been working on it. But
sometimes they just need, listen, in all seriousness, sometimes people like that just need, what it is you give them that and you say, well, it's your, you allow me to do this is contributive to this. And it kind of gives them an energy.
Yeah, definitely. I will definitely speak to her about it and show her what's been happening. Because she always...
Fruits of the labour.
She always does ask what's been going on. She's amazing, to be honest. Mm. And I probably have taken the mick and been sort of that trying to be self-employed, skimpy rap dude for years. But yeah, we're getting there. Hopefully, fingers crossed, 2021, we're going to be balling.
Yeah, baby. Who's on the album?
It's all my beats, like I said. I've got G-Bag, amazing MC from Croydon as well. Okay. Strange Neighbour, who runs Revolve Records. That was the first single that came out. Then I've got Sus Bully, who's another Croydon MC. We've been trying to work with him for like 10 years.
These Cronk Dons.
Legends.
Cronk's in the house.
Yeah, and who else is on there? Fibre. Have you heard of Fibre? Fibre Optics, works at Crate Division a lot. Amazing MC from West.
Nice.
Sick dude. Lovely dude.
See, there's a name you need to check out. Super talented.
Yeah, PHYBA. Check him out. Amazing. And a guy that's very, very underground and impossible to track down most of the time, this guy called 25. He's done work with Jake Milliner. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's, I have to send you his link as well.
Yeah, for sure.
He's a child of Dilla, and he's now working with Slum Village, okay. Farrah Monch.
Right.
He did a beat challenge. You know, you're like, oh, check this beat out. If you want to do something on it, send it back. I'll post my favourites. Lupe Fiasco jumped on the beat challenge the other day. So that's the sort of level he's at.
That's crazy.
But like, he's another dude. He's not really out in the scene. He's just had a baby and he's just kind of laying low. But he's working the internet really well to his advantage and smashing the beats. It's so funky. But he did Hawk
House stuff.
Which goes
back to what you were saying about people just coming out and surfacing in these times. Yeah,
for sure. And then
he did a beat. What were you saying?
He's done Hawk House stuff. Right. Another amazing group from South London. It kind of disappeared a bit, but DeMay, the vocalist, she's just dropped her debut project on Touch and Bass. He's done a beat on there, and Wooloo has, and a few other heads. Just real nice sort of South London flavour. But his dad was in the Pasadena's. And then the uncles, obviously. And then one of the other brothers is part of Kano's live team. His other brother, Jesse's a good friend of mine as well. He's a DJ. And then the cousin, Robio, is like, tours the world, like teaching dance and stuff. And she's part of like, works like Breaking Convention, other people like that. So they're a mad, amazing family. But yeah, I'm working with Jake as well on some stuff. He's done a remix for the album and another project that we've got coming out in the new year on a 45. But yeah, who else? My cousin, J.O.K. James is on guitar doing a solo.
Sick.
Dave Core on synth. I don't know if you remember Dave Core. You probably would have bumped heads back in the day around.
Probably, yeah.
Used to be called Blue Movies or DJ Mech.
DJ Mech, yeah, of course.
Legend.
Legend. Big Dave.
He's still active. He's in a jazz funk quartet with my cousin and Mr. Gats and Johnny Drop called The Expansions. And he's also playing session keys for loads of people and doing his thing, teaching and that.
So sick. Listen to the culture going on. It's tapestry.
That's who I first worked with, Dave. He taught me a lot. He put me on DJ and he taught me how to DJ. Gave me my first like sort of comps that I could take out and play. Produced my first three projects, recorded them, put them out on his label at the time, Derby Records. 2006, we did two projects and then one in 2008. And he's done a beat here and there for me since, but it was so good to get him. I actually called him out on the hook, saying I lift you up like Dave Core on the synth. And then Jay went, we've got to get Dave on it. And I was like, yeah, we should, but time's pressed. And he goes, just ask him. And he, by Monday, sent it on the Thursday. By the Monday, we had the whole track. I said, do a solo, but he just added...
So you just start to finish duty on it.
Yeah, went in. I'll play you that later. Special one, that one. So we're going to shoot a video for that as well. And that's the one with Fibre and 25. And yeah, 25 is a very elusive dude, but amazing MC from like Croydon way as well.
This is a scene in itself, you know. It's crazy to think. I mean, I've had genres pass through here. But it's still... The thing is with the UK hip-hop thing is I am that, you know, at its core. And when I hear of new things, and I'm like, yeah, like, it's like a, it's like a fine wine, man.
Mm.
It's just like, it just gets better every year.
Yeah, there's so much stuff coming out as well.
So much stuff, and new names, loads of new names.
That's the other thing, like, I swear the same people that moan about not doing anything are the same people that moan about nothing good coming out these days. Do you know what I mean? Shutters are on, do you know what I mean? Like, can't see what's happening, and like veteranitis, something I'll never suffer from, but is rife in hip hop. I hate myself for not being more active, so I'm going to hate everyone else.
It's an eye into the soul of themselves.
Yeah,
you were saying about the whole social aspect of hip hop and cultures on the whole, but you know, there's people out there. You can see the heart in someone like yourself who embraces not only being in other people's company and other people's parties, but creating those party environments. And, you know, it's a give and take, and you've got to be able to give and take, haven't you?
Yeah, that's my favourite thing, man, putting on events and having the people there. Like you said, the social thing. There's been times of people, you know, we all have, like, social anxiety at times, and especially in sort of certain areas and certain scenes, like, cool, wannabe cool idiots that make...
Lord,
like,
of the Fly...
Yeah. Yeah, like, I'm hung out with you for like hours one day, but next time I see you, I'm just going to be like, oh, sorry, do I know you? Them types, do you know what I mean? But that's never an environment I'm trying to create. If people come to my events, they'll meet people. Some people like don't turn up, and then the ones that do, it's like, oh, my mate flopped on me, I'm just going to come on my own. Mm. Like, cool, that's what it's about. You're going to have 20 new best mates by the end of the night, do you know what I mean? And the squad just grows, and then... Yeah.
Talking of which, Carnival... Yeah, when we were down at Carnival a couple of years back.
That was heavy. Apart from Apex, ruined my day. Holter Apex Zero gave me what I thought was Evian. It was. I said to him recently, no. Oh, it's Ray and Nephews. He went, no, it was something stronger than Ray. I was like, what? I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Oh, shit, and what did they give you?
Some mental rum. Because I know he drinks, but I didn't know. I usually just see him with a Guinness. And, like, he didn't drink when we first met. But I thought he. Obviously, everyone goes a little ham for Carney,
yeah.
So he said, I was like, oh, you're right. And he's like, you look like you need this. And I was like, oh, thanks, man. It was like about that much left in this little bottle of Evian.
That was
like, oh, my God. I managed to randomly find Russell, who runs the White Horse in Peckham. And he's like, right, I'm getting you out of here. Took me, I think it's Paddington Station, to a pub in the station. I think it was Spoons, and bought me chips and Guinness to bring me back to life.
Were you just wrecked? Were you
ruined? But then I went and played a dancehall set at Chip Shop for an hour, and ended up hanging out with Drax Moore and Rodney.
Drax.
Me, Drax, and Rodney ended up in a lock-in after.
Oh, mate!
Thanks to the chips and Guinness for the strength. So hold tight, Russell, for bringing me through.
Hold tight, Drax. Drax really was that whole day. He was the Pied Piper.
Yeah, connecting. Tell me what was weird about that day. Tizer was 20 feet from us the whole day.
Didn't see him.
Me neither. And he just landed that morning or the night before from States, I think. And yeah, he went straight there.
That's right.
And he was right with us the whole day. And I didn't bother hollering at him because I thought he was still away. And then I found out a couple of days after that he was at Abershanty the whole day and we didn't even see him. The person we met through was like right next to us.
You couldn't have written that.
Carnival.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Carnival.
Exactly. Sea of heads.
Yeah, just people connecting. Love it.
Yeah, it was so good. I missed it this year, man. First time ever.
Yeah,
not going.
So yeah, just heartbreaking. But you know.
Terrible.
More power to the future, my brother.
So yeah, I cannot wait.
The future is the album. The future is the
Future's the album. Revolg Records. Revolg.co.uk for the album. Yeah, it's nice to have a debut self-produced thing out. There's obviously the back catalogue on the Bandcamp, everything that I've done in the past, the mixtapes, the albums with other people. Sitting on a couple singles. I'm working on a production album as well, trying to get through these beats on the laptop. Anything that's decent, I'm trying to salvage, bounce off in my new technique where I've figured out the one exclusive button that I've always denied. And so I've been bouncing out of beats. I've got sort of 10-12 track projects. I've already got a track with Cracker John. Crossbone T's actually jumped on something. I got him out of rap retirement.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, oh, I don't really rap anymore. 24 hours later, I had the track with all the stems.
I had a go.
Oh, you shat on it, did you mean? You killed it, yeah. Thought you would. Shouts to Crossbone. And got two joints of 25 on there as well, getting them rare verses.
Oh, exciting, and,
Yeah, Strange Neighbours on one. I think Anyway to God's going to do one or two.
You're listening to this.
Confucius,
this is activity.
Hopefully. Yeah, I've got a big list of people that took stuff at the start, so I need to chase that up. Once his album's out this week, that's going to be the next thing to
focus on. The hardest bit is chasing, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
It feels like you're trying to herd sheep, yeah, everything in.
Exactly. But then I figured out that I am actually halfway there now, so once. And also, I've done a producing album for Fiber as well this year, which is coming out soon. So
fucking hell, that's, man.
I'm really excited about that. Michael Parkinson's on it. Woo! And a couple other features.
Michael Parkinson's.
Yeah, Hold Tight Parky.
OG.
Yeah, legend. And a couple other heads, so I'm really excited about that. But yeah, it's nice to get the beats out, man. I'm looking forward to getting this new setup back from Kurt and getting on the beats again. Got a double A side, well, the sort of A and a remix B coming out on a sort of Limited 45 in the new year.
Right, so if people want to check this out, where do they go? They go to your Instagram?
Instagram, I post all updates and stuff. That's Cronxdon, yeah. CronxDon. Oliver Sudden, if you type in that, you'll get it at Cronxdon. And then oliversudden.bandcamp.com has all the back catalogue to stream and to download for like nothing or super cheap. And then the Spotify is there, but it's not exclusively mine. It's not a proper artist page. That's another thing I'm working on at the moment, just making sure that everything's linked, because there was a label called Oliver Sudden Records, I think, that done like a world music sort of thing. I don't know if they're still active, but some of their catalogue has crossed over under my name. Right. So I'm just trying to say, yes, it's me.
Demarcation.
Yeah, exactly. This is me, this isn't me. This is, so I have an accurate collection on Spotify of stuff to stream on all the features and other bits and bobs.
And you know what we're saying here? It's like, you know, I always steer people to check out the music, but it's not, you know, basic shit. This is the living embodiment of culture right here. Get involved, support the cause, because my guy is doing, you clearly he's doing a shit ton of stuff, and I know you guys are dig it. You know what I mean?
Having a go. Yeah.
Keeping the culture upright.
Salute, man. You too. Thank you for having me. It's been sick.
Bo, it's been wicked. It's good been to catch great up. Catching up again.
Yeah, man. We've got to go and paint. We've got to get you painting next.
Oh, God. Something for them to hate on. Trust me.
Start with the fill, and we'll go from there.
Stay lucky, Oliver. Top
nice
boy.
One. You too, man.
Killer podcast. We are like, in was out of fashion, right? Don't forget to share. Sharing is caring and all that business. Don't talk to any strange ones. We'll see you later. Peace.